Birth, the Grand Division, Chapter 38. Every seat in the auditorium was full, and there were interns and staffers lining the walls standing up. The hum of voices created an atmosphere of doubt and derision. Senior senators had the look of vassals, each plotting to overthrow the king. Congressmen did their best to form groups and alliances in attempts to leverage their votes for their brief moments in office. The secretaries sat with their backs against the wall, knowing the rows of bureaucrats in front of them planned to outlive any presidential effort to control them. News cameras from all over the world were continuously panning the room, seeking angles and images that would fill the mouths of hundreds of handsome and fair TV actors posing as news anchors in an attempt to dominate the market share. Lorraine's phone vibrated in her perspiring hands. The text had arrived. She stood and walked to the microphone. "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States." The auditorium erupted in applause, even though dozens of elected officials who believed Riker did not belong there, that his election was somehow not blessed by the powers that have been in control of Earth for thousands of years, stood, not smiling, and with their hands at their sides. The doors closed, and the Secret Service moved to stand on both sides. The RF apron dropped on the room, snuffing out any and all cell phone calls. Only hardwired cameras and microphones were working now. President Riker walked to the podium without notes. There were no teleprompters. Hadid stood behind him to the side, and the agents Smith and Jones stood to the extreme left and right of the stage and watched the audience with trained eyes. "It is written, 'To thine own self be true,'" he began slowly, panning the room with his gaze. "It is long overdue that we had only truth spoken from this podium. The planet is nearing the equinox of the union of the polarities. I know many of you do not believe this. You are holding on to the reins of political myths like climate change or global warming because it makes you wealthy and powerful. I am here to tell you that climate change is real, but those of you who still believe mankind has anything to do with that have been deceived. There is a transition occurring as we speak. The Earth is preparing to return to its original as a higher energy world created long ago and merged with an existing world and placed in this orbit next to this moon. In a few weeks, days, or perhaps even moments, the intersections between these two worlds will pass the center point. These intersections will begin racing toward one another at hundreds of miles an hour until the higher energy world floats free into space. There will be cataclysms like the legends of Scripture, the records left in the sides of mountains and layered in the desert canyons. Life as we know it will most certainly change. Politics as we have known it has already changed, and if you haven't kept up with it, you will be left behind. As of this moment, I am instructing my cabinet to order nearly all agencies, departments, bureaus, and administrations to dissolve permanently. The few agents that will remain are being notified as we speak, while we are in this meeting. The remaining resources of the federal government will be applied to enlightening and saving as many humans as possible during the next few weeks. Nearly 90% of the world's population lives within 20 miles of a coast. They must evacuate, or they will be destroyed, along with all the thinkings and doings of mankind in the path of oceans that will be pulled out of their bounds during the coming days. Judgment. In this you have been deceived as well. There is no one on this earth nor in heaven who is judging you. That is done every second of every day with your own thoughts and actions. To some, this means freedom and the liberty to choose and plan your own eternity. To those who abdicated the control of their own lives to someone else or to some government, this may be fearful. For months now, we have been asking you to focus on good thoughts and good actions. We have told you that your consciousness is real, that this tangible and intelligent energy has mass and can affect the universe. We have also told you that this higher Earth is sensitive to that energy and that it has formed a symbiotic relationship with you. It has now become evident that most of you refused to pay attention and are still focused on the politics of personal enrichment. This process of transition is vital to the universe, as there are 7 billion souls alive on this world now, and it is being dragged into darkness by the greed and lust and oppression of others many of you have chosen as your path to happiness. We now know there is an ancient intelligence that has many of the people in this room in its grasp. In a word, the concept called America has been compromised by your allegiance with this dark and nefarious being. We know who you are, and we also know that according to the Constitution, there is only one thing we can do about it. That is why I have written an executive order to adjourn the Congress and the Senate and close down all agencies except 50 essential services. Congress was never designed to be a full-time job anyway. There is more, I'm afraid. For some of you, this will be very difficult to hear. As the planet passes through this phase of its existence, there are those who are plotting to take advantage. The room was nearly quiet now. Riker measured his words and watched every face he could. 4 nuclear warheads have been stolen, and we have reason to believe someone is planning to use them to kill millions of innocent people. Whoever you are, if you can hear my words, I am begging you not to do this terrible thing. I want you to choose mercy instead. The Earth needs all of us alive and focused on the love of one another. That is why we are here right now. No hatred will survive the Earth's new birth. It cannot, as it would violate the very laws of physics. I am confident that if you search your soul, you will find that this is true. I am asking you to have no fear. As these two Earths come apart, you will notice that your friends will be there with you. The humans alive on this Earth have come from all over the universe to be born here and live at this time. You will not be separated from the ones you love, for the power of love within you qualifies you for the polarity. Do not despair, for if you are hearing my words, there is enough time for your improvement. Know this much. If you are dark in your heart, you will be left behind with a gray and cold earth devoid of much of the lush green life we have enjoyed for thousands of years. Begin making that change in your heart now, as I promise you, there will be room enough for everyone. God bless you all, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you. Again, the room erupted in applause, even louder than before. The pain and hatred on the faces of those filled with the dark blood of evil became even more intense. They tried to boo the president's words, but it seemed as though there were thousands of unseen voices joining the ones who had tears of joy on their cheeks as they clapped until their hands were tingling. On and on they cheered and sang and stood, embracing one another and clapping again. The members of the president's team stood and clapped as well. They felt the energy and passion of the audience echoing off the walls of that auditorium, and they each knew there was hope for the world. Good and evil would reap their rewards. They also each searched their souls for the dust of doubt and evil with the intention of sweeping it from the cracks so the light could get in. That was superb, Mr. President, said Lorraine, reaching her hand out to grip his in congratulations. Thank you, Lorraine. I could not have done it without you, Riker said as he smiled into her eyes. Smith and Jones gave the signal to the Secret Service around the room and the doors were swung open. Slowly the applause died down after several minutes and people began moving to the large hallways on both sides of the auditorium and headed for the exits. The signal blocking was terminated and hundreds of people took out their cell phones and began texting and emailing as fast as their thumbs could move. We need to get to work right now. Have the letters gone out? Riker asked Lorraine. Yes, sir. They arrived as soon as you mentioned the cabinet in your speech, she responded. I want a GAO report as to how much we can apply to evacuation and relocation efforts, he said. He turned to walk into the vaulted doorway leading to the underground tunnel to the White House. The team filed out behind him. He stopped when they entered the hallway and watched to make sure Smith and Jones made it into the hallway behind them. He gave the hand signal, and they closed the vault doors behind them, sealing the auditorium off from pursuit. Are the preparations complete? He asked Smith. Yes, Mr. President. Site R is ready, he said. Then we move today. As of a few minutes ago, an executive order went out dissolving all but 50 of the agencies. Those secretaries will be arriving at Site R tonight for sequestration and remote administration, he said. What can be done about the Congress and Senate? Asked Shelley. They are being sent home, he said. Are you implementing martial law? Asked Bet, afraid that her worst suspicions about a government takeover were coming true. Quite the opposite, said Riker. The central government is setting every state free, and all of the resources stolen from them over the past 85 years are being returned to their purview. The remaining cabinet will form a support team to distribute those resources to the governors and legislatures of each state, with a temporary priority to coastal areas to help save as many lives as possible. This is real liberty, Bet, he said to his silent team standing in the underground tunnel. Let's go.